Blog Talk Radio.
Brother Satabi, y'all have to give me a few minutes because I'm going to have to resend this thing to people. I'll explain a little later. But
all right, no problem. Go ahead. Do what you got to do, man.
Hey, Satabi, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How you doing, friend?
I'm good. I'm good. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year also.
Check your email for the new link. Check your email for the new link.
So the people tuning in on Blog Talk Radio, there's a slight delay in us getting started this evening, so please bear with us.
Brother Satabi.
Yes, sir.
Can you go ahead and just go ahead and get started while I'm still messaging everybody? So if you go ahead, I appreciate it.
Okay, man, I'll go ahead and get us started. Good evening, and welcome to another edition of the National Black Unity News Podcast. As we do each and every time we come on these airways, we open up with reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success by author Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich and Black Choice. Tonight we have an interesting topic, All Soldiers, Calling All Soldiers, It's Time to Stand Up. So, with that being said, I'm going to get into our reading for tonight. January the 10th. Pro-choice. It's pretty hard for the Lord to guide you if you haven't made up your mind which way you want to go. Madam C.J. Walker, entrepreneur and philanthropist. It is not inconceivable that a few generations from now, historians may record this age as the period of mankind's greatest folly. In the midst of greatest abundance the world has ever seen, far too many suffer because of negative mental attitudes. These poor souls remain enmeshed in the jaws of despair and hopelessness when happiness is within their reach. They're like a sculptor having both the training and the tools for which to work, standing before a huge block of marble, admiring its beauty, yet never turning a hand. Or like a man who despises the dark, but sits alone in his modern home, refusing to turn on the light switch. Would it be strange if future generations called them foolish? How many among us really believe that all good is ours right now? Not one in a thousand. Far too long we have formed the habit of thinking a thing too good to be true. Nothing is too good to be true. The world is full of people who believe that choice is dead and freedom is a thing of the past. But we must continue to make choices, the choices that will eventually determine our destiny. Your greatest gift is the power of choice. Maggie L. Walker, America's first black female bank president, gave a rousing speech in which she said, when it comes to success, the choice is simple. You can either stand up and be counted or lie down and be counted out. Choosing the right mental attitude is basic to all achievements. Today, I'm aware of the power of choice, and I choose success. That's so important, you know, as we look and move forward, especially all that we've been hunkered down with as far as this pandemic and the coronavirus, and, you know, and people preaching doom and gloom, the world's coming to an end, all it's written in the Bible. This is the revelation that he was talking about. And, you know, that might be partially true, but the world hasn't come to an end yet. You know, we're still standing. We're still moving forward. We have to figure a way to do what's best to bring us through all of this. So we hope that tonight's podcast, you know, will give you some ideas on how to move forward as we look to embrace the road ahead of us. That said, David, I'm going to turn it back over to you. So are you ready?
Okay, yeah, I'm going to be ready as I'm going to get. Let me explain something to those of y'all who've been very patient. Today, Zoom said they were doing what they call an upgrade. And so I upgraded, and I just noticed it when I sent stuff out. They had two meetings at the same time with the same information in it. And so when y'all were trying to get on the other one was canceled out. So that's where that's at. But in any case, since we are here anyway, and I was still in the process of, because I invited quite a few people on this call, but like I say, it's still kind of messed up, but we're going to go with what we have. And first of all, again, thank you for your patience. And, you know, when you deal with technology, stuff happens, and it will happen. But nevertheless, we have to learn to weather the storms and do what we have to do. But nevertheless, we are here, thank God, and we're going to move forward. We have some real exciting news this evening from several people. And as we all know, you know, it's the new beginning, new year, new thinking. And so while people are in this mindset, you know, we need to assist us with putting some good stuff in these minds. Try our best to introduce everybody who's on the call, on the Tuesday night call, as well as we try to do this with this call as well. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to speak, or sometimes, you know, we just can't get to everybody. But, excuse me, my throat is kind of, I don't know what's going on with that. But you see, Roof Ministry, got my tea.
Amen.
All right. Okay, but in any case, you know, we have to fight on many battles, and this ain't going to stop me because I got fingers I know how to type, Not in text message. But in any case, tonight we got Brother Cliff. He's going to share some information about that action that I was just speaking about. We have my co-host on here, Brother Michael Thomas, who deals with economics. He has a plan for this new mindset. We also, hopefully, we will have a few more people on here, but there's also Ruth Ministry. Pastor will be speaking a little bit tonight about another plan of action dealing with men, which is so much needed in our community. You know, men got to step up. You know, our ladies, they've been on it, but you know, we you know, it's kind of lagging behind. You know, it's so because we are targeted more. You know, they have a method to their madness. And that's why what Brother Cliff going to share with you tonight and what the other brothers and sisters going to share with you tonight, we are beginning to do our plan. They're going to do them, and we're going to have to do us. And so that's the whole plan about the National Black Unity News. We just don't talk about it. We're going to be about it. You know, faith without works is dead. And we are workers, you know. But again, I want to commend you all, those of you who are involved with the publication. And I want to welcome those who are on Facebook Live. I also want to welcome those who are with Blog Talk Radio to this podcast. And it will be aired all throughout the week as well. And so for those who may got caught up in the madness of me trying to post this thing today, you know, you will still get an opportunity to view the information that will take place today. And it's a great day because, like I said, I see so many of you who are doing so many wonderful and great things on here that, you know, from my perspective, we have no excuses. You know, only thing we need to do is what we're going to talk about tonight, how us can come together and make some serious differences, I mean, changes, and not only in our personal lives, in our communities, in our nation, and throughout the diaspora as well. You know, we have all the tools necessary. And before I get started, I want to introduce Pastor, that's what I call him, Pastor Bernard, I believe his name is. I just keep calling him Pastor, but he's going to introduce himself because this brother, like most of us, some more than others, has been through a lot. I mean, he overcame all types of obstacles, you know, and so evidently, I believe sometimes God don't put on no more than you can bear. Obviously, this brother can bear quite a bit, and because he's still standing tall, and he's not just looking out for himself, he's looking out for us. And he and I have been talking, but he had already had this in his plans in the beginning, is that, you know, working with men. And so, Pastor, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Hey, man, God bless.
Yeah, I just want you to share a little bit about your vision with this men's ministry. You got the floor, sir.
Hey, man, we truly thank God for this opportunity to be able to speak. And then even though it says it's about men, and we thank God for the woman as well, because it was true, man first, and then came woman, and then it went to woman to bring forth us as men. See how God works. God is amazing. He just does some amazing things. And I truly thank God for Brother David, amen, who has opened the ground and opened up this door for an opportunity to be able to share. And also thank God for my wife, who was actually the pastor of the Roof Ministry, Prophetic Roof Ministry. But thank God that she has pushed me into being the pastor of the ministry, you know, because she realized the role of us as men. You know, but I still call her the pastor of this ministry because God put the ministry in our heart. And then we were speaking about how we continue with the men ministry, you know, having gone through a bad experience myself and, you know, dealing with men, and deal with a lot of men, over 25 years of experience, probably longer than that, with dealing with men, period. I see that a lot of us have went through a lot of bad situations in our life, and a lot of times what happened, we lean so much on what others have done to us, we begin to do the same thing, like basically put the same type of burdens on ourselves while we carrying burdens that sometimes we ourselves can't deal with, that we've seen others do to us, and we turn around and we do it to one another. Like a lot of times, even being in the incarceration situation, men would always be quick to say, well, that guy's guilty because they see him on the news. But yet they themselves said they're not guilty, but they'd be quick to see somebody on the news and say that that person's guilty. So sometimes we tend to put things on other people that we ourselves don't want to take the responsibility of some of the actions we have done to put ourselves in situations that we have found ourselves in. So the Roof Ministry is where this ministry that God has placed in, actually me and my wife's heart, to begin the men's ministry. You know, we already do it. We fellowship. I was going to the prisons to follow up with the guys in prison with another team. However, because of the COVID, a lot of that stopped. But we didn't stop dealing with men as well as women. She deals with the woman as God lead her, and vice versa. I deal with the men as God lead me. And then sometimes we both do it as a team. But we see that men, what happens a lot of time, we as men, there's certain things that we would share with our wives as well as our fiancés or our girlfriends or our mothers or our sisters that we wouldn't share, right, with them, that what we would share with actually with a man to man. Because as men, we sometimes hold back things because we may feel ashamed. We may feel pride. We may feel how they're going to look at me now when I share what I've been through. We know that there were a lot of men that have been through sexual abuse, sexual molestation. One of the people I could point out is Donnie McKirkland. Donnie McKirkley went through a bad experience in his life. And today, Donnie McKirkley is not married. It could be because of that reason. He was molested by his uncle first, and then his uncle's son did the same thing to him. So he grew up believing that's what he's supposed to have been. And an old lady had to speak to him and tell him, yo, men don't stand like that. Men don't act like that. But this man is a very powerful man in the ministry. If you ever heard it from Donnie McKirkley, he has his own church in Freeport, New York. And he has never married. Maybe that could be the damage that he has been exposed to that maybe got him to the point that now he feel that he's so damaged that he can't see beyond the damage that he went through. And a lot of us have been through a lot of damaged situations in our lives that we might need to have a man-to-man talk. You know, a men-to-men talk where we can expose and speak about things that we wouldn't speak to our wives about, that we wouldn't speak to our children about, that we wouldn't speak to anybody outside of our little circles. But hopefully that through this ministry, what we're looking to do is it's called Leaders Building Leaders. A lot of time we say, well, I'm not a leader. Yes, we are. We are leaders. The moment we open our mouths to talk to somebody, the moment we have children, the moment we have somebody in our life, people are watching us as we walk down the street, we are considered to be leaders. We might see leaders as a president. We might see leaders as a governor. We might see leaders as a mayor. But we are all leaders. God called us to be leaders. He called us to be examples. He called us to replenish the earth. He called us to take care of the ground. He called us to take care of the fruits, the animals, to lead. But what happens is the misconception is that we believe that we cannot be leaders because of what we went through in our lives. A lot of things have caused us to feel that, hey, why am I not doing this and why am I not doing that? Because of what I've been through may have caused me to feel that I can't lead no more. But that's a lie too. One of the greatest things that Satan has done and we have done to our souls is that we're allowing the woman to lead now. It's okay. They could be pastors. I believe they can be pastors. I believe they can do any type of position God has called them to do. But we as men, we need to step up and take out our role. Not to say they got to be on our feet. My wife is my partner. God took her for my rib. So we're walking side to side. She ain't under my feet. She's my rib for my side. So if I hurt her, I'm hurting myself. But we as men, we need to step up and take our leadership position. And also, in this ministry, we're talking about we want to deal leaders, building up leaders. We're going to be talking about men situations. We want to talk about men issues, men's battles, men's strength, men's weaknesses, families, our relationships, whether we're married, divorced, planning on getting married, our character, following up on one another. Men can cry. I used to believe, because I was told when I was younger, men don't cry. That's not true. That's another misconception. Because if we got a toothache, I can say that for myself. If I got a toothache, believe me, I'm going to cry. If somebody I love real dear to me has passed away, I'm going to cry. If I lose a toy or something that I had when I was younger, I used to cry. But they would tell us, oh, men don't cry. Misconception. A real man, you will cry. And I believe through this ministry, which I've had experiences dealing with a lot of men, we cry. We literally cried with one another. We literally supported one another. We built friendship. We built a character. We built strength. We followed up on one another, checking up, how are you doing, brother? How's everything going? And we begin to share things that we wouldn't normally share with other people. So it's I believe one of the things that D.L. Moody said, he said, character is what a man is in the dark. So our character doesn't always have to be where everybody can see it. It's also our character, what we do in the dark is going to determine our character as well. So we need to step into this ministry. I believe it's something to thank God for Brother David. We're looking to do it as also in the roof ministry. Amen. We want to bring it to the roof ministry on Wednesday night. We're planning on starting it on January the 19th at 7:30 p.m. It's going to be like that because David has something on Wednesday nights, every other Wednesday. So it's going to be every other Wednesday. We're planning on getting together, and we're going to have this meeting, men with men. We're not excluding you, woman, but we would like it if you don't be there those nights.
You don't have no problem.
Because we're going to be talking about some men issues that men probably wouldn't feel safe or feel comfortable with talking in front of women. So we're not excluding you to say we don't want y'all to be a part of this. But we will, because my wife is going to be doing the woman ministry. She has the woman ministry already. So she's going to be dealing with the woman. So that's going to come very soon, and it's happening already, but what day she's going to actually pick to actually do it on the Zoom, we're going to discuss that, right, Pastor?
Yes.
So basically, this is just, you know, dealing with the men. So hopefully, you can tell other men. I'm going to spread more word. David, we can tell other men. It's going to start January the 19th at 7:30 p.m. on the Roof Ministry Zoom conference call. Okay, and David, if you wanted to be a part of yours, you can also implement that on yours as well.
Okay, I appreciate that, sir.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
You can do them both. Because there may be a night that, you know, God forbid that if I'm not around to do it, somebody else can carry it on. Because this ain't about me. It's about us. This ministry is going to be about us. So there's going to be other brothers who have a night to leave, have a night to share, have a night to say something, have a night to cry, have a night to speak. It's not going to just be about me. It's going to be about us. Because this is how we help each other. And there's not going to be no dumb questions. There's not going to be no dumb answers. Whatever we say and whatever we speak about, it's going to stay with us because it's going to be confidential. We can't, if we're not able to keep confidentiality, don't come. Straight up, don't come if you can't keep confidentiality.
All right. Okay. I appreciate that.
All right. God bless you.
Pastor, I appreciate that. And men, you know it's time. You know, we need to get our stuff together. And we have several brothers on here that I already know have been talking about this because men do need a man every once in a while. You know, we need each other, man. We need to open up. You know, sometimes, like Pastor say, you know, it's very difficult to share certain things, you know, with our ladies. But with men, you know, we're going to have to open up because we need to free ourselves so that we can go out here and do what we need to do. But in any case, let me bring on this other. I bring on my co-hosts and everything. But I'm going to bring on this other brother. Man, I am so pleased with this brother, the works that he's doing. Not only in his, you know, he runs a great business and everything like that. But this brother have a podcast that comes on Sundays, I believe at 6 o'clock. And the last 3 or 4 podcasts I was on them. And I'm talking, you talking about getting some powerful information. Man, I'm just giving you the example of the kind. He had a brother on there, Dr. Zollicoffer, a couple of weeks ago. And he mentioned the fact, they mentioned the fact, they brought up this subject about this COVID thing. And they mentioned that here in the United States, I'm not sure he can tell you the numbers, but I think over 800,000 people died from that disease. But yet they explain that the entire continent of Africa, the entire continent, I don't know how many countries in Africa, they only had about 200,000 deaths. Here we are with all this technology, all these doctors, all these vaccines and everything else. So how is it? How does that play out for them to only have 200,000 here? We over here in this country with all this technology and money and everything else, that's so. And I'll let him explain a little bit about that, just a little bit about it. But then he had on last night, he have a brother who I'm familiar with, was on as his guest. This brother is, you know, I don't know if he still is, but he was an FBI agent, black FBI agent. And he's been in the community of activists for a long time. This brother was spilling out some information that was extraordinary. So I encourage y'all to come on Sundays at 6 o'clock. You know, take a look at this podcast. Brother Michael Haney, how you doing today, sir?
Hey, Brother David, thank you very much, man, for asking me to share or allow me to share. I'm only going to take a couple minutes, but I just want to thank the pastor for reminding me it's okay for me to cry and feel as a human being, because for so long, you know, we were treated inhumane, and now all of a sudden, you know, what does human look like, so that we can pass on to our sons and our daughters that it's okay to be human. So reminding me of that, and that I need other men in my life, you know, so that I can be a better man, even at the age and the stage that I'm at now, that, you know, it's not too soon or too much for me to continue to learn how to be a man, so that I can teach a boy how to be a man. Because growing up, I didn't understand, didn't know that. And to the point that you mentioned relative to the podcast that I do, and it's about sharing information, you know, particularly among black people, by black people that are qualified to give factual information and data. You refer to the COVID-19 information situation, and I'll share with you, David, the link to the podcast, because it's powerful. You know, it's so much that we don't know. And you were right in terms of the statistic of the continent of Africa that has 1.3 billion people on it, and the country of the U.S. that has 335 million people, far, far more advanced, and that they do have only 200,000 deaths as of December in Africa compared to the over 800,000 deaths that we have in this country, for a reason that science and doctors attribute to the fact that we have so much research, et cetera, that each death is worth an economic advantage to pharmaceuticals, et cetera, whereas over in Africa, that they don't have the advances that we have. They just use a mask. They just use a mask. And a mask allows them not to have to social distance, allows them to have to continue to go to school, because I was over there last summer and their kids never stopped school. Businesses closed because countries that contribute to their economy weren't traveling, but they didn't have access to the vaccine. And when they got there, they only had a half a million for 13 billion. They continued to have to wear a mask. Well, over in this country, we do things differently, and it's caused us confusion and a lot of death. So I want to share with you that link. And you mentioned Dr. Powers, an FBI agent that talked about the FBI and how the FBI continues to infiltrate our ability to move forward and causes, you know, disruption in our community. We have to continue to be aware of this stuff. We have to continue to educate each other on what's real and relevant by using experts you know, and a common point of media. That's why it's so important, the Black Unity newspaper, that it gives us credible authors. And, you know, I want to shout out Fran Allen, who I've known for a while. She just sent me a message. I know she relocated, you know, a bit ago, but, you know, she was instrumental in this area working with Congressman Cummins. And she wrote a couple of books that I read, you know, giving me information. So Black women are important and powerful in our communities as well. But like I said, I appreciate you allowing me to have a couple minutes to share. But moreover, I appreciate, and I got mine off the top from the pastor, in terms of what I came here to shoplift for and not necessarily get back to, but you forced me to, you know, in terms of making me feel better and giving me some information and reminding me as a human being who I am. So thank you so, so much, David.
Thank you, sir, man. I appreciate you, man. And you keep doing what you're doing, sir, because you're doing a powerful work. You don't have to, but you're doing it, and you bring the type of information that's deep and heavy and need to be heard. Seriously, you know, there's a thing in the Bible about, you know, I think they use the word pablum, you know, not the Bible don't use that, but you know, but they, and then they say when you get some information out to certain people, they can only take baby food, in other words. But then some people need strong meat, you know, because they've grown up, you know, they passed that baby food stage, and they need something strong. And I listen to quite a few podcasts, but when I go to this podcast, this brother's podcast, that's strong meat, stuff that I'm learning, you know, stuff that got me pumped up, you know, and it makes me realize how important each and every one of us is, because we all can make some contributions. And so, brother, I appreciate you for that. Appreciate
you.
Keep doing what you're doing. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move quite along. Brother Chris, I'm going to bring you on interview because you're going to be our closer, and because he's the man with the plan and that all of us can get involved with, because, like I say, it's time. But before we go there, I want to reintroduce my co-host, Brother Michael Thomas. You know, he's a man after my own heart because, see, economics has always been my choice of field to fight in. You know, some people say you have to pick your battles. And economics was always that. Yeah, media is part of that, but mine was always trying to keep our money circulating amongst ourselves, because we do have power in this country. And they still say, even when I got started in my journey, so to speak, way back in, I think it was 79, 81 or something around that area. And I read, there's a report that comes out every year by the Urban League. And it's the State of the Union of Black America. Back then, they said we was only 250 million companies or businesses. Back then, they were saying we don't circulate our money. Back then, they were saying that other ethnic groups, Asians and everybody else circulated the money. At that time, they were saying seven times. But, and they also, at that time, again, they say the amount of money that Black people spend in this country annually equates to the ninth largest country in the world. And I believe that data is pretty much the same, but it went a little further, because some of these groups circulate their money 15, 16 times now. The money, don't they say the money don't even stand in our hand, not even an hour, pretty much. You know, so, you know, we got work to do, of course. But we need people who are visionary, and this is what this brother is. He is a visionary. And if you listen to what he did, it sounds, when he talks to, when he speaks to you about these things, it sounds kind of way out there, but there is a method to what he's saying. I understand it. And but it takes collective economics. It takes us. If all of us put our resources together, our thinking together. But I ain't going to say too much more, but I'm going to let him tell you. Brother Michael Thomas, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Say a little bit about your vision and how it can help us.
Yes. In advance, I want to defer back to what Brother Sataru was reading as I came on. I didn't hear everything he said, but he was speaking about some things that we don't believe can happen. And we have to dismiss that belief that things cannot happen, especially as things that bring essential things to the lives of people in need, essential things in the people who need help and cannot give help, but do not ask for help, and there's no one there for them. So that is something that we need to change in our mindsets and our beliefs, you know, this idea that things are not possible. 1,000 Great Minds is my platform to wealth and lifelong security. It is a plan that spends out 9 core nationwide businesses that are operating in all 3,100 U.S. counties, a bank, a real estate unit, land development construction unit, insurance unit, film production unit, environmental engineering unit, employment staffing unit, foreign exchange currency trading unit, and what I call an adult elementary school unit, spending out multi-streams of income, multi-streams of business to the 1,000 Great Minds who head up this real estate-based nationwide housing program that enables every desiring person in the country, all 3,142 U.S. counties, to get a house and a car, truck, van, or SUV debt-free with no rent, mortgage, car payments, or debt. So that's what the unique selling proposition of 1,000 Great Minds is that we deliver homes and cars with no rent, mortgage, car payments, or debt to pay. On the other hand, and I'll close with this, is that I'm looking into this federal government contracting thing, and that anyone who among us desire to come aboard to get on a Zoom and begin to investigate data, past data of government contracts from $200 on up to $74, $75 million and even beyond, that we get on Zoom and get on these government federal government websites to offer the government a product that we can get from any vendor. And I suggest that we do a $5 million government contract. And if there are 5 of us working on it or 10 of us working on it, at minimum we should get is $200,000 each. I observed one contract that started in September of 1 year, September 1st of 1 year, and it ended on September 30th of the same year, 30 days later, $5 million contract. So I'm inclined to put money into our households, you know, so that it can ease our pain, you know, as it relates to the bills that we have to pay. And we want to erase those bills and get us in a position of where we can be more charitable, we can unify, we can do the things that the pastor mentioned, and solidify men, for men to take their positions, and also unify the women among us and the community at large. And I would encourage anyone to go to 1000greatminds.com to get more information about 1,000 Great Minds, the Roof Ministry, a part of 1,000 Great Minds, Brother Satawi, a part of 1,000 Great Minds, Brother David, a part of 1,000 Great Minds. 1000greatminds.com is the portal that has the information on 1,000 Great Minds. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you for that, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to inform everybody, we did come on late, so we will be as long as it takes. I will anyway. But, you know, I'm going to try to give everybody a chance, if you like to speak. But I want to get to this brother as soon as possible because, like I say, you know, you just heard from the pastor talking about men and men ministry. You heard my brother who's in media and other services talking about powerful information through media that we can use. Then you just heard from my brother dealing with the economic standpoint of how we can take economics and build a nation with it. If we took 1,000 Great Minds, can you imagine? It's about 17 Great Minds on here right now. And what I see right here, we have just enough to do what we need to do to overtake this world, because we, like I said, all of us have powerful resources. We have nurtured our goods and services over the years. We have networks. We have experience in so many different areas. It's no excuse, as far as I'm concerned. But Brother Cliff, how are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing all right, sir. Welcome to all of you here today.
And I want to bring Brother Cliff in because, as you heard us in a few weeks ago, we talked about a plan, a meeting. You know, we can get on these lines and we can say certain things, but we all know that people are listening. People are like my brother, if y'all would have heard that show yesterday, with brother Dr. Tyrone Powers and Mr. Haney, you know, how all of these technologies and resources they have, I mean, you used to can hide and run one time, but not anymore. You know, everywhere you go, they have connections how to get to you, when to get to you. And if they can't get to you, they will make something up for you to get to you. But in any case, Brother Cliff, out here like many of us who've been working for a multitude of years on certain things, you know, I believe one of his expertise is trying to unite us, a plan that would include, not exclude anyone. Say, do what you continue to do, but at the same time, you know, we can work as a powerful force. Brother Cliff, explain what I'm trying to explain.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for once again giving me an opportunity to come on this forum and run my mouth. Second of all, I'm glad that you are able to get at least most, I hope, of the exciting news out of the way before I start putting everyone to sleep. Third of all, I've decided that just so that I make sure I don't stumble over my words, miss any important information, or otherwise make an idiot out of myself, I've kind of written some things down. I've written a lot of things down, and hopefully I'll be able to get through these pretty quickly, again, without boring everyone. Basically, what I've been pushing for the last, several months or so, and looks like it's going to come to a head in the next week, and hopefully this doesn't conflict too much with what Ruth Ministry is doing with the men's ministry on the 19th, because this meeting that we are hooking up is also on January 19th, but hopefully we'll at least be able to support what Ruth Ministry is doing in that regard. So that if you can't go to both, at least that way we can make sure that you're aware of what Ruth Ministry is doing with the men's ministry and women's ministry on a regular basis. What I was asked to come on here and talk about are what I've titled the numerous issues that impact on our community and how a cooperative coalition could address those issues more effectively. So I'll just get right into it. Televised town hall meetings and the daily news from major media make much of the different crises, maladies, and other issues that adversely affect our community at the grassroots on the ground level and are often quick to pile on the criticisms and attacks, some justified and others not, without proposing much in the way of solutions other than a throw the rascals out strategy that seems to simply replace one group of unresponsive bureaucrats with another. They often behave as though all of the problems that people face can be laid at the feet of one person, be it Mayor Brandon Scott, State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby, or Governor Larry Hogan. One area that seems to be neglected is organizing the community from the grassroots to exert control over the systems that are truly at the root of most of the issues we face. We have several organizations and activists who've worked in most of these areas for decades, but who have struggled with limited resources, cooperation, and other support. Bringing these organizations together within their specific areas of work and then bringing those areas of work together in a more comprehensive, overarching strategy could build the sort of bottom-up pressure that will be needed to force real change for the better. For example, the area of crime. Despite an apparent decline in overall crime on a national level, the rate of violent crime, especially murders in our community in particular, seems to have increased. This has often been connected with economic hardships and increased community stress brought on by COVID, which has not been effectively addressed, much less treated, and has thus been allowed to fester. As was said in the famous poem, does it weigh down like a heavy load or does it simply explode? Our researchers and educators can bring together the history of the social and political decisions that have contributed to this crisis so we'll no longer lack the perspective we need to effectively analyze the solution, the situation, and devise a way forward. This in turn could energize the grassroots activists from citywide and statewide organizations, as well as specific neighborhood organizations to keep their communities better informed and to link together and build a real mass movement to put the total real pressure on the political leadership or replace them altogether. General health. So many of us are suffering from a variety of maladies, from high blood pressure like I do, to diabetes, to cancers. At the same time, there's a level of distrust toward the medical community, from conspiracy theories about COVID vaccines to suspicions about the role of institutions like Johns Hopkins Hospital in East Baltimore. Where is the Pan-African Health Cooperative that can provide trustworthy, thorough, documented information to the people so we will not be easily misled by government bureaucrats or anti-government propagandists. Environmental determinants of disease. Neighborhoods in East Baltimore have experienced an increased rate of cancers and other environment-related diseases for decades, likely as a result of the now inactive industrial plants in that part of the city. As far as I'm aware, there have been few comprehensive epidemiological studies to determine the exact source of these maladies or to devise a way to alleviate the problem. The closest thing to a report that I am aware of is titled Who's in Danger? Race, Poverty, and Chemical Disasters by the Environmental Justice and Health Alliance for Chemical Policy Reform, which was published in May 2014. And I can email everyone the PDF of that report if desired. A cadre of Pan-African environmental health scientists is needed to ferret out this kind of information. Turning to the most vulnerable people in our communities, there are a number of us who run operations at the grassroots on the ground level, from Baba Leon Purnell's Men and Family Center to Brother Rico Crowley's God's Giving Hands and several others that bring essential services to those who need them the most. Still, our community struggles with homelessness and the increasingly arduous challenges of survival. These organizations will always need help from the rest of us and from each other if the conditions our people face are to be turned around. Looking at the struggle of Black business, many of us remember the activism of ancestor Robert Clay on behalf of Black businesses in Baltimore. The unrepresentative allocation of business contracts from the city of Baltimore and the state of Maryland has been known and documented for decades. Many of us believe that Mr. Clay's activism ultimately is what led to his untimely death. Since that time, various organizations have surfaced in an effort to follow his legacy of support for Black businesses, including Sister Eartha Harris's Tight Knit, Brother Milan Butler's Indigenous Business Association, Brother Rennie Bass's Keeping It 100 Business Alliance, Baba Michael Thomas's 1,000 Great Minds, and others. Bringing the various business organizations together in a Pan-African business coalition could provide a vehicle for more effective advocacy for Black businesses. Art and culture's influence. I've often heard people commenting on a deterioration of our community consciousness as a result of the messages we receive in our music, television, and other cultural influence. The impact of negative messages in a segment of hip-hop culture has been bemoaned by many of our elders. As a club DJ, I personally witnessed the change in Black music from the early hip-hop of the 70s and 80s to the gangster rap of the 90s and beyond. Much of what was derided as raunchy, violent, and overall negative imagery in the 20th century is now often celebrated as messages of feminist uplift, such as WAP, and expressions of revolutionary ethos, which many of us no longer truly understand. Meanwhile, there are activists on the ground, some of whom are right here with us tonight, who are pushing back on this, advancing a return to truth, justice, and righteousness through culture, art, and music, such as Sister Kim Pool's Teaching Artists Institute, which has reached out across the diaspora and to Africa, and fellow Baltimore-based recording artist Maimuna Mumu Fresh Youssef. They are following in and advancing the footsteps of groups such as Public Enemy, Dead Prez, Jasiri X, David Banner, and Baltimore's own Precise Science to help move us forward. We need to reach out to these groups, promote greater cooperation between them, and tap into their ability to soothe the soul and rouse the fire of the people. Prison outreach. Our people are growing old and dying in prison, often for crimes committed as children or as a result of trumped-up charges and political repression. Veteran Black Panther Russell Maroon Schultz passed away on to the ancestors in December, as did Romaine Chip Fitzgerald earlier in the year and Seth Hayes before that. Mumia Abu-Jamal continues to languish in prison, as does Imam Jamil Abdullah Al-Amin, formerly known as H.R.A.P. Brown. Who remembers these one-time heroes of the Black liberation struggle? Who advocates for those who fought for our rights in the 1960s and 1970s and are now paying the price for their activism on our behalf? There's the group Aging People in Prison Human Rights Campaign. There's the Jericho Movement. Groups like the Federation of Ex-Offenders, I Can't, We Can, and Pan-African Liberation Movement have also done great work in helping the formerly incarcerated readjust to life on the outside, while also providing important analysis of the socio-political conditions that led to their incarceration. But these groups cannot continue to do all the heroic work they have done alone. Political organizing. Much debate is centered on the entrenched political structure in Baltimore City in particular. While individual citizens debate their disappointment with the decades-long Democratic Party control of Baltimore politics and the reactionary ideas of an increasing number of Republican standard bearers, several activist organizations have challenged these institutions to pressure them into embracing greater community empowerment and responsiveness, as well as championing independent political organization. Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle has regularly published assessments of Maryland politicians at election time and has organized rallies in Annapolis. Sister Zuleika Bazemore has promoted a more community-centered approach in the Republican Party, and the Ujima People's Progress Party has been working for the establishment of an independent Black worker-led political party in Maryland. How much progress could we make if these different organizations and activists formulated a three-pronged approach, Democrat, Republican, Independent, to political organizing so that no matter what political party takes control in Baltimore and Maryland, it must feel the encouragement and, if necessary, the pressure to enact more Ma'at-centered laws for the people. Revolutionary activism. While the work of revolutionary Pan-African organizations goes unappreciated by many of us, even within that group of organizations, the division sometimes becomes unproductive. The days of discord between the Black Panther Party, Young Lords, Black Berets, and Organization US has given way to a lower intensity rivalry between Black nationalists, cultural nationalists, and Pan-Africanists, even though their essential missions are largely the same. Sometimes personality issues and issues between individuals that should have been settled and reconciled long ago have managed to fester, preventing these organizations from putting personal issues aside and coming together for the sake of the people they serve. Bringing these groups together, not to join each other, but to talk sincerely and respectfully, could help them see that the larger community needs all of them to help advance the cause of the people. Our lack of legal representation. Just like the Panthers in the 1960s, we often lose in the courts of the United States for a lack of adequate legal representation. The recent increase in visibility of police murders of unarmed Black people, aided in no small way by the use of mobile phone videos, has brought lawyers such as Benjamin Krupp to the forefront. But our community needs more, not only for individual criminal cases, but also to fight for the rights of our activist organizations to put themselves at risk even today, as well as businesses and their organizations that fight for the rights of Black entrepreneurs in the political and legal arenas. Our legal warriors, properly organized and supported, can also work side by side with our political activists to win victories in the courts where the political struggle is blocked, as political entities do today through their control of the U.S. Supreme Court to limit the options of the U.S. legislature. Looking at the global nature of our struggle, while we see these issues impacting us on the local level, back and take a look at the global picture, we are forced to see that these issues impact people of African descent everywhere in the world we are found in large numbers. Police brutality in Brazil is 5 times as prevalent per capita as it is in the United States. Health disparities, political instabilities, mass incarceration, environmental racism, and right-wing assaults are on the rise from South America to Europe to Africa, as well as in the United States. There are global organizations such as the two that I belong to that operate in this arena by pressuring international organizations like the African Union and the United Nations to listen to and act on the cries of Africa's scattered Black children, and by building the foundations for a more effective global Pan-African government. If we do not see that the local, national, and global struggles of our people are intricately and indelibly linked, we will see limited progress in our work for our people. The continuing struggle of Black media. Elder Murphy has discussed on several occasions how the proportion of the media that is Black-owned and operated has been dwindling, even from its earliest inadequate numbers. Jet and Ebony magazines, which were published under the name Ebony Media Corporation, were sold by Johnson Publishing Company in June 2016 to Clearview Group, an Austin, Texas-based private equity firm. Essence magazine was sold to Time Incorporated in 2005, bought by Black entrepreneur Richelieu Dennis in 2018, and then was the target of a sexual harassment lawsuit in 2020, as well as furloughing much of the staff during the COVID pandemic. Black Entertainment Television, BET, or as I call it, allegedly Black Entertainment Television, was sold to Viacom in November 3rd, 2000, and has been frequently criticized before and since, even by some of its original founders, for much of its programming content. Meanwhile, there have been those who have worked to maintain an authentic Black presence in the media, from those of you here at the Black National Black Unity News, to the Baltimore African American, the Baltimore Times, and other smaller circulation publications, websites, and other electronic media like my own small effort, CoombaReport.com. Today, of course, we have a National Black Unity News, as well as those who hope to keep publications like Soul School Institute's Positive Action Bulletin alive to continue the legacy of recent ancestor Baba Tunji Balogun. We have a variety of African Center radio hosts in the area, from Elder David Johnson, Sr., to Brother Darren Muhammad, to Elder Michael Johnson, to the host of Africa 400 and more. These are efforts to establish internet-based, there are efforts to establish internet-based radio and television stations, from Baba Kidi Awadu's LIB Radio out of Los Angeles, to Baltimore-based Hand Radio, and Brother Vernon Streeter's Unity Television. Brother Vernon's here with us tonight. Imagine what could be accomplished for the Pan-African community if all of these print and electronic media producers, editors, and personalities formed a Pan-African media collective that would not require them to necessarily join each other as much as to coordinate around a core of important information that between them could help properly inform our community for the benefit of our collective uplift. Finally, and everyone's breathing a sigh of relief now, I'm sure, imagine what would happen if all of the above groups and more were able to effectively work together, group to group, to build a coordinated, comprehensive program and strategy whereby the city and state political apparatus was either influenced or replaced entirely through the leadership of our political activists as a result of the cooperative work of on-the-ground grassroots activists inspired by the cultural community, financed in large part through our businesses, popularized by our media, reinforced by our legal warriors, guided by our elders and our spiritual leaders to build a new system that looks out for the health and education of the people. This is the basis of the call for the establishment of what I'm tentatively referring to as the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition, or MPAC, M-P-A-C-C. Each of the above areas of MPAC, plus a few more, are represented in the graphic design that I call Spokes of the Wheel. It's in the background of my little feed here. It's an arrangement designed to illustrate the gathering of organizations and activists based on their missions, talents, and specialties, not simply to join each other or to subsume their own missions under someone else's, but to find ways to cooperate and coordinate with each other as they pursue their work. Mass actions by the grassroots for political rights, economic relief, education, healthcare, and any number of issues could be better prepared with advanced media attention to the issue at hand. Depth of understanding provided by educators, researchers, health workers, and scientists. Businesses could assist with as well as benefit from specific issues being addressed. Cultural artists could help crystallize many of the issues through art and music. Elders and spiritual leaders could help us move forward in faith and wisdom. And lawyers could be mobilized in anticipation of arrests or other attempts to restrict the right of the people to speak out in protests. The group's leadership could be determined by having each organizational group or spoke elect representatives for a coalition council that could then meet to discuss how each spoke could contribute to one or more campaigns on behalf of the people. But it all starts with us coming together to hold some frank, respectful, sincere discussions and listening to each other. So on Wednesday, January 19th, again at 7 p.m., and hopefully, again, that doesn't conflict too much with the men's ministry, I hope we will be able to start with brief introductions to each other and an exchange of perspectives on what unity looks like to each of us, what each of us would hope to see from the unity of a cooperative coalition, and what each of us is prepared to bring to the table to bring that unity about. I may get around to a detailed discussion over what a cooperative coalition looks like for me or how Spokes of the Wheel model could help promote unity by cooperation while avoiding unity by conquest, which seems to be what happens all too often, or I may not. The overall approach I hope we'll adopt on January 19th would include the following quick ideas. One, everyone takes a minute or two to introduce themselves and their organization to the others. Two, everyone takes another minute to speak on what unity looks like to them, how they hope to benefit from a cooperative coalition, and what they would bring to the effort. Three, none of us takes advantage of the opportunity to launch into a long speech or manifesto, which means I won't even talk this much. No one hogs the mic, and everyone gets a chance to speak and express themselves. 4, the group comes to some general agreement about working together to build a cooperative coalition. 5, there may be some discussion of the basic structure. 6, some discussion of the name may take place. So that's basically what it is that I'm hoping that we'll be able to, I guess, set into motion and ultimately accomplish starting on Wednesday, January 19th. Anyone who is interested in participating in that, then please either drop some information in the chat and I'll just pull it up from there, or you can send me an email at Cliff, C-L-I-F-F as in Frank, at Kuumba Report, KUUMBAREPORT.com. And then when I set the Zoom link and officially lock the meeting down, then I'll send the Zoom link out to everyone. It'll probably be around middle to late of this week, just so that people don't get it and it disappears somewhere. And then I'll probably resend it again over the following weekend, Sunday or Monday, so that people will be able to call in and join in the meeting on Wednesday when it occurs. So hopefully I haven't put everyone to sleep. And I think I'm about done. And if anybody has any questions again or any comments or wants me to send them the link, then either email me or drop your information in the chat. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, brother. Man, I appreciate that because, like I say, we need a course of action. And you do have a plan. And I see from my perspective that how we all, each and every one of us can participate from where we come from. I'm in media, and I'm also active in certain types of ways, but that's my lane. So, you know, it would be nice to unite. I often tell you that we own less than 1% of the media. So we got a brother like Michael Haney on here. We got Brother High Key and many others on here who deal with media. We doing a podcasting network. You know, all of these type of things that, you know, but yet still, collectively, we own less than 1% of the media in this country, even though we have voices, but they're very small voices. So you also know that through propaganda and other sources, what they're doing to us, they're bombarding them with their messages. And from our babies all the way up to our seniors, you know, we are being fed all of this misinformation. Our school system, miseducation. You know, so much going on against us systematically. And so we need a system systematically to change this. And we do have plans. You heard a few of them on here already. And so with that being said, there's so many of you on here this evening. If you have something you would like to share on some of the subjects that you already heard or something that you want to share, what you're doing, and very briefly, because like I said, a lot of we're not going to be on here forever, but I really like to hear from some of our ladies on there because men, we kind of dominate this one tonight. But we have quite a few ladies on here who's doing great and wonderful things. And so if you don't step up, you know, I'll call you out. But in any case, this is the time to reflect, share, or just provide some information to how we can help us. And so the mic is open. Unmute yourself. One at a time. Don't bombard me, though. You know, one at a time. And it's just not the ladies. I'm talking about everybody. Just talking to everyone.
Dave?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad that everyone's on tonight, and blessings on everyone. You all make my day. I just want to add some information.
Wait a minute, sir. Before you do that, introduce yourself.
Oh, my name is Dr. Pender. Just... Mm-hmm. I'm down here in the Prince George, Virginia. I'm in the woods so deep that my deer got GPS. I had to put a little humor in there. I just like to share something that's already been said and to be on the backs of Michael and Cliff. They brought up some very interesting points, and I'd like to add to it. Also, in your communities, every community that you live in, there's such a thing as called a CDBG grant. And that's in every community in America. It comes out of your tax monies. You can use those particular monies for your projects, and there's free monies. Some years ago, I did the Crystal Lake Park in Hopewell, Virginia. It was $300,000+. We got with a CDBG grant. But also, those who live in Baltimore and other places of historical places, You have older homes, and with those older homes, you want to get them kept in good condition. And some of these homes are historic. And in a historical home, they have a grant. It's called an ICE-T grant. With an ICE-T grant, you can get the house restored, but it doesn't cost you a penny. So those are two things I'd just like to add to the plot of Michael and my friend Cliff there. But thank you very much, and I want you guys to have a great evening. Take good care of yourselves, and I think we got a good thing going here. Only thing we have to do is encourage one another, enrich one another, and I think the Lord will bless you in your outgoing.
Okay. I appreciate that, sir. I'm going to call this young lady out because she's a young lady after my own heart. She's also involved in media. I don't know if she wants to speak tonight, but I'm going to ask her. Shauna, can you unmute yourself, please? She's trying to get in there. Unmute yourself. Okay. Well, she's trying to work it. But in any case, she is another young lady. I think she's in Illinois, I think, Chicago, one of the places, I believe. But she's starting up a publication herself in her area. And I commend her for that because, you know, it's an undertaking that, you know, in the line of communications that we desperately need. You know, we need to hear from, you know, from fresh voices, people who have a different mindset. And there she go. Can you speak?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hear you and see you.
I'm in Cleveland, Ohio.
There you go. I knew it was a C in there somewhere. But in any case, yeah, you're from Cleveland. And tell them what you're doing.
Working on a newspaper in the Cleveland area. I want to say Northeast Ohio because Cleveland isn't that big. It's actually the size of Cuyahoga County fits in Maryland, like the almost the same shape. So I live on the east side, and most of the people through different various regions have migrated. We've had like a migration. So we all in the suburbs, but it's kind of like I think I represent the generation who's disconnected from the things that everybody spoke about and the agendas and everything, but between the information that say a city, a county, or agency, or a nonprofit, or something wants you to know, and then applying those things in your life, you know, you really don't know. You in essential survival mode. Some people, I'm living that every day, and I don't think of myself as poor or needy, and there's a lot of people like that. So it's a lot of the businesses that we get ourselves into. My background includes website development, but my background is business. And so I usually have to work through a business plan to get a website done, in the past anyway. So I kind of know a lot of angles that black businesses are coming from. And I also know our market isn't big for a lot of this stuff. So it's like my job, I think, is to communicate using my web development skills, graphic art skills, and I'm a talker naturally, and I write too. So just kind of putting it all together as a package so a company don't, you know, think they need to buy flyers. They can just put an ad in my paper and help me to communicate what their needs are. Because, again, the agencies speak at one level, and the person that they think they're talking to ain't really listening to them till they need them. You know what I'm saying? And we got that in every, I'm going to say every agency in my area. They talking at us, but they not talking to us. And because I'm 42, my oldest son is, he'll be 23, just had a 20-year-old, and I got a 8 and a 5-year-old. And I see the gaps. I can look forward to some of my mentors or older people, you know, and when I look back to try to communicate to my kid, if we speak a different language. So my goal in communicating is speaking in our language to benefit from some of the resources or, you know, create a path for the future.
Okay. I appreciate that. And you hit on a point that we also need to work on. And in the National Black Unity News, we are working towards that. And I want to remind everybody on, especially those who are involved with the National Black Unity News, on the, I believe it's the 29th, the last Saturday of this month, January, we're going to have a special event with Brother Vernon Street is on here as our event coordinator, where we're going to have an event, what we used to do. We used to come together every quarter in real time, you know, and we would meet one another. You know, some people had never met each other, but we would get in one room, a black restaurant. We would sit down and have them meal and just talk to one another, share with one another. But since this pandemic and everything is going on, this is going to be a Zoom call. It's from 11 to 2. And one of our guest speaker will be Mr. Joe Young. If you look at the current issue of the pay, he's the one who do the cartoon character of Kemet. He also is a movie producer, which he done a nice movie I watched on Tubi. It's called, I believe it was called Diamond. And y'all should check that out. Well done. And he does quite a bit. And so he would be our guest speaker. But speaking of our young people, we have one of our new editors, a young man by the name of Joshua Moore. He's a student at Morgan State University, a journalist student. And then we have a brother named Mr. Paris White, who has written a few books, but he also designed some games with black people in mind. It's about black people. It's black games, board games, and other formats that he's doing. So, you know, so we are reaching out to our young, but we have to kind of unite our different generations, as Shauna was just speaking about, because you know the old story, the baby boomers don't see eye to eye all the time with Generation X, and then the Generation X don't even see what they call the millennium. You know, so we all got this discord or miscommunication sometimes. But the point is that, you know, once people, you know, I did this recently in Baltimore where I brought all the generations together, and they quickly found out they have a lot in common. You know, they was all fighting for pretty much the same thing, but at just different times. And we can learn, you know, we can learn from our seed. We can learn from our young people. You know, we can learn from each other, period. And so with that being said, anyone else would like to share? Ain't that right, Fran? See, I know I'm calling her out because she was a friend.
I knew you was going to get me.
Well, you should know by now. But in any case, you know, I just want to ask you a real simple question because this is what you do. And you do so much, but I know this is one of the main things you do.
Mm.
You know, people, when I was talking about earlier in the show, when I was talking about mindsets, you know, a lot of us, like I say, through media, through lifestyles, through just living, just existing, has been beaten up so bad. We are deeply in trauma and drama and everything else. And even though you can say spiritually or traditionally, we had this thing around the beginning of the year saying that resolutions, I'm going to change my mind, so I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. So what would be your solution to that solution to help people reach those objectives? What would you say to them?
Ooh, okay, here we go. You know, I always get in trouble, and I ain't scared of trouble because I find some good trouble, but I think that people get in trouble when they make resolutions, because a resolution is not something that they are necessarily committed to, and they don't really make the resolution because it's what they intend to follow through with. They do it because it's January 1st, and that's what they think everybody else is looking at them to see what you're going to do, and that's just ridiculous. Now, at the beginning of the year, every year, we ought to have a goal. Don't make a resolution, make a goal, because a goal is something that you can commit to, but it's also something that you have to be flexible enough to be able to stay the course, because sometimes you start out with a goal in January, and then you find out that your finances aren't going to support the goal that you're after, so you got to flex it up a little bit so that it can keep up with what your ability is. You know, my goal this year is to enlist some youth in my church to become young motivators. And I have a page in the paper that I am supporting, I am making the financial contribution to, so that I can put these kids in this paper. They don't have no money. I'm going to find the money. I don't know where I'm going to find it at. Me and God already had that talk, and I already gave it to him, and I don't have to worry about the money no more, because God is going to find me this money. I believe that. My faith is strong. So it's not about the money anymore. Now it's about finding the kids, because David's right. You have to connect these children to the things that are important to us in order for them to know that they are important to us too. You know, that mindset right now, maybe they don't think that they're so important because none of us are really talking to them. I want to give them a voice, and then I want to give them a significant medium for them to use their voice. What good does it do to give them a voice and then you don't put it anywhere where anyone's going to see it or anyone's going to hear it? So I'm giving them access to a medium such as the National Black Unity News that is being distributed all over the country. And it's a scary thing, but I'm going to go in here and I'm going to handhold these kids into some writers. They don't think they're writers, but they are writers. I'm calling that out of them. And the only way you can get it out of them is go out there, hold their hand, and you know, walk them down the street. So set a goal for yourself. Stop with the resolution stuff. That stuff is just, it's a waste of time. Set a goal for yourself. Be flexible enough to see it through. And when you see things having to change, don't drop the goal. Change the goal. Is your goal? But at the end of the day, nothing gets done if we don't step up and make the attempt and be flexible enough to see it through. So that's my piece. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. And I hope I didn't step on anybody's toes, but if I did, I'm sorry. I'll buy you some new shoes. Just don't, you know, pull your piece out and get me.
All right. I don't think nobody's going to do that. But in any case, Kim, I don't know, sometimes Kim is at work sometimes. But Kim Poole is a young lady with the Teaching Artists Institute. If you can unmute yourself, she travels all over Africa, man, and do so many wonderful things for such a young person that you know is so committed. And Kim, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay, Mr. David. So I'm an artist, and again, yes, thank you. I work with the Teaching Artists Institute. We use art as a tool for community development. We work in 8 countries around the world, and 7 of them are on the continent. But we do a lot of work here at home too. You know, you can't help other places when you ain't help home yet. Nah, I said that. He's an artist. I appreciate. And we're look all of you in whatever capacity possible for us. Art is everything. Even ideas is art. We call that the art of possibility. And so we're in the business of teaching other sectors how to think with the creativity of artists to imagine a better world for all Black people. You know, we are the quintessential human being, so, you know, all people. But when we're in our proper places in leadership, then, you know, everything else in the world will find it. It will find itself in alignment. And so thank you for the opportunity to talk. I guess I'll shout out some of our programs that are happening, and hopefully this year some of you folks at National Black Unity News can be a part. First and foremost, I just want you guys to know that National Black Unity News is an opportunity and a blessing. Every place that we go around the world where we work, we always bring copies of the National Black Unity with us and distribute them. And so you guys don't even know that your articles are read by people in Uganda, Ghana, Liberia, Gambia, Tanzania, South Africa, Jamaica. Literally, they know you and your products by name. And so I never want you to underestimate your contributions to the paper and the reach, even though it is a Baltimore-based paper, because of our networks and our ability to use our networks. You guys, as your information is getting out all over the world. And so I'm glad that we're able to help spread the message. So some of the programs that we're doing this year that are coming up, some of them are right here at home. We work with young people, and we help them take history off the page with living history reenactments. We take them down into the Eastern Shore, and we bring them back up to Baltimore. so that they can experience what the Underground Railroad would have been like for Harriet. Harriet, you know, she's not just this distant figure in our history. She was an outdoors woman that knew the land. Most of our kids can't even swim, scared to death of water. But, you know, Harriet had to wade in the water to get to freedom. And so we curate experience like that as an example to give young people an opportunity to see that era of our history and make it relevant for their skills that they need today. We're going to do that in August of this year. So if you're working with young people and you know young people from Ohio, I heard the sister from Ohio, we actually had at least 8 young people from Ohio come down and be a part of that experience last year in August. So if you know some young people, maybe they can get on the bus and come down with the young people we're already working with in Ohio. We're also in June, we're going to be going through our own freedom ride. We're going to put them on the bus and show them about not just civil rights, but human rights, right? Connecting those two conversations and using art and culture to tell the story. Young people were the ones that were at the front of the movements that liberated us here on this soil. And so we want to remind young people to take your position. Listen, your job starts now. And you can see historically, it's always been that way. So, I see Ms. Fran. She said, Kim, could you please email me the 7 countries on the continent? Absolutely. And we talk a lot about those countries in the articles that we write. But I'll make sure that I send you the brochure. We would love to take some of you to some of those countries. Of course, every year we do tours. This year on the continent, we have tours in Tanzania, of course, over the summer. We teach the art of possibility, teaching learners from across sector how to integrate art into their research, into their pedagogy, whatever it is that they want to bring about in our community. We want you to use art as a part of your analysis and creative energies and innovation. And then in October, maybe you're looking for love. We have a tour called Love Camp. You know, a lot of people don't understand the importance of healthy relationship development. And they don't realize that Black people just aren't getting married anymore. They're just not together. People just walking around single. And we've normalized that behavior. And so we're going to use art this year to talk about how we can use it as a tool to build healthy relationships. And so we're going to do that in October. So come on, get on this love boat if that's what you're into. And if you're already married, then you can bring your partner and celebrate all across the country of Tanzania. So I can tell you guys more about the work that we're doing in different regions or even right here at home, but we would love to connect with you and curate an experience, maybe for your office. We do corporate social responsibility. We can come into your office and do some trainings and employee wellness. We can come into your classroom and do some arts-integrated education around history and social justice and social-emotional learning. So just let us know what you need. We would love to be creative with your vision.
Hey, I appreciate that, young lady. And keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to just say that I'm very pleased with this young lady because, like I say, every year through her eyes, I get to travel through Africa. She keeps telling me I need to get on. I was just that old thing, get on the bus myself and go. But maybe I will. And but you know, when you can't get places, you know, see, reading is a powerful thing. You know, through her articles and her pictures that she sends back, her and Brother Haki as well be sending pictures back. You know, from the continent. I even my Brother Haney just came back from Africa, and I watched his pictures and his stories. You know, so it's good that we have advocates that can go out throughout the world. And like I told y'all, a lot of people, I keep telling y'all that you never know who's reading your material. You know, your words will never come back void. People all over this world is reading your stuff online as well as the physical paper as well. So don't be weary in well-doing because you are touching people. And most of them will not, even ex-Ruth Ministry, even Jesus. You know, I'm not trying to get religious on you, but he healed quite a few people. But only one person came back and told him thank you. so we're no different. You know, like I say, most people, sometimes you think you're doing a thankless job, but you are making an impact, a serious impact.
You know, Mr. David, we told you that we can sponsor you a trip. All you have to do is say the word, say I'm ready to go, and we're going to get you there.
because we know if we can get you there, then the whole National Black Unity newspaper is coming. So you just let us know when you're ready to go. We're going to help you get that too.
Put me right on the spot, didn't you? Okay. Well, I'm going to take you up on that, too. You know, as long as I can get this old body in shape, matter of fact, I'm going to start doing my laps immediately, get myself in shape. That's serious. Because, you know, seriously, I've done it before. You know, I run around the block. I was walking 7 miles a day. Yeah, I get back there. And, you know, like I say, mentally, I'm there. I'm there. It's done. So I appreciate that, man. What a blessing. I tell you, man, I'm one blessed man. Man, you can't beat this, man. I'm serious. But in any case, thank you, sister. I appreciate you. And anyone else, before we shut down, because I'm always remind you of this meeting, because every one of us can bring something to this table.
David.
Yes, David.
Sir?
I appreciate
yes.
it.
Sure. Come on in. I heard a couple of people, but wait, you go ahead first.
All right. Well, first, thank you for inviting me here. My name is Bobby Rush.
Yes.
I've heard a few people speak tonight, and it's got me kind of thinking. I think her name is Fran, if I'm not mistaken. She mentioned that she's looking for, you know, youth to pull in. And I think about that often. My father is a pastor, so being around his ministry for so long, it gives me my own perspective. And I feel like the disconnect comes in with young people and their elders sometimes, because our elders aren't necessarily living up to what they should be, especially when it comes to faith, especially when it comes to most religious beliefs. We see leaders sometimes speaking in a certain way, but they don't believe in themselves. And youth today are more visible, and we can see you clearly. I think when we can start being more honest with each other, more people will come to you, more young people will come to you. We aren't living in a space anymore where we want to be silenced with your lies or your ignorance or your fear, because things are changing. And I think that's really important to be more honest. Sometimes my father will say, you know, and I don't shame him for this at all, but I know that Black people are so capable because of the history books, because of what I've seen, because of people that I know now. And it's not always, you know, a higher power that's doing it. It's you. When we have more belief in ourselves that we can do this, more people will look at you and say, I can do this too. What are young people going to look at if you aren't giving yourself any credit, if you aren't giving yourself any power or any assertiveness in what you say you're doing? How can that be changed if it's not you doing it? And I think that's extremely important for young people. I think it's important for people, period. Nobody wants to follow a leader who's a liar. And I think it's about time we be more honest with ourselves and what we're truly capable of, and who we are, and what we want people to actually see as the truth.
Well, I appreciate that so much, because you hit on so many different things. You know, and one of the major things is, especially those who have lived for some time, is that you have been through so much in life, and you know. Like Ruth Ministry was just saying, you know, we can't be ashamed of some of the things that we've been through, but if we have to speak truth to power. You know, I had my granddaughter in here the other day, Saturday, and she and I sit down. She's 15 years old. And I feel bad about this, because this was the first time she and I had a real serious talk. We talked about a couple of hours, she and I. And I was telling her about my history, how she came to be. And I have a picture on my wall with my mother and father. And then I have a picture of my grandparents up there, you know, and I was telling her the history, the geographical areas. I was telling her my truths, my struggles that I went through. And she was truly amazed. And not only was she amazed, but I come to find out he was talking about gifts and talents as well. I come to find out that she's loved to write. Here I'm sitting right here with all of this information, writing and giving all this right up under my nose. It is a young lady who wants to do all so many wonderful things, but only if, like you said, have to be nurtured, talked to, communicate with. And so, Fran, what you're doing, and a lot of you, because a lot of you, Kathleen Murphy and quite a few other people work with our youth, talk to our youth, and you just heard from this young lady that those of us, we have to open up this line of communication, and we have to be for real, because like I say, they will spot you, just like we did when we was coming up. Remember? When we spotted people and we called them out. But if we don't tell our true story, and you can't be ashamed of what you've been through because it was a learning curve. But, you know, we got young people are hungry, willing, able. But first we have to show up. We have to speak truth to power. And we have to, like I say, we don't look down on nobody. We have to, our job is to lift them up. And so, young, you know, Bobby Rush, and I love her name because y'all remember, you know, and she spells it a different way, but you know, but I appreciate you. And she's one of our newer editors, and we have quite a few new editors on here. And so you can see we're expanding in so many different ways, and we're going to be touching people from various ways as well. And so, again, I appreciate you. Anyone else before we go? I heard somebody else was speaking.
Go ahead. Real quick. Bobby Rush, you are a breath of fresh air. You are a creative powerhouse that should be unleashed for the world to see, for the world to hear. You keep speaking your truth. Keep unleashing the energy that you have because it's contagious. And when people get around you, they're not going to be able to do anything but tell the truth and share their stories and be who they really are, because your spirit and your energy won't allow them to do anything else. So I receive everything that you said. I believe it's all true, and I receive you. Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Okay, who else? Someone else will chime in.
Pastor Lamont from the Roof Ministry.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now that, because our brother Cliff is having his thing on the 19th, we want to change that date so that we can attend his event on the 19th. So we hope that if we could change the men's ministry for the next following Wednesday.
Well, what about this then? Because, you know, it depends on the time frame. So, you know, y'all two may want to collaborate, you know, what time you was going to do yours and what time he was going
to
do his.
He's there from 7 to 7. He's going to be there from 7. So we want to attend his meeting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we want to attend that. So it wouldn't be no problem. We could change hours till the next following Wednesday.
Okay, yeah, because we can adjust hours, like I said, when you can do something at 6, maybe somebody do something at 7:30 or something like that, you know, so you can, you know, deal with both. But we'll work it out. Okay, but I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, that's cooperation, you know, so.
Yeah. Not unity.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Examples.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Anyone else?
Yes. How are you doing? Roof Ministry.
Amen.
A very important thing. Thank you, Lord, for having everybody being in divine order. But it's most important that we as men and women, like the young lady said, let go of our fears, let go of the things that hurt us. Let's be able to forgive ourselves and forgive others so we can do what the gentleman is talking about, the 19th. If we're not healing outside, we can't do anything. We have to heal our inside. And by healing it, you'll be dealing with people with positive entity. And that's what we're doing. So it's going to be changed. Just like she said, honesty, love, all that, what we're saying is working. But we have to work within to work out. So once we get to know what bothers us, we can eliminate it and be able to be fruitful for each other. But if I'm constipated with my fears of what's happening to me, not being honest with my fears and men not being honest with their fears, they can't be out either. So that's what's wrong now. There's a lot of men that can't read, a lot of men that had things happen. I had the building with homeless men in there, and they each don't know how to read. They feel so useless. We have to work on that inner to bring it out. So as we show the leadership, what we're going to do now is important. And we got to first be honest and be able to hear what they say privately and collect it if they choose to do so. So I'm glad we're doing it now.
And thank you. Anyone else before we depart? Let
yes,
your
David.
Voice be heard. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Greetings again, everyone. I come to everyone with the highest honor, regard, and respect. I see a quilt here that is a beautiful quilt being designed that is bringing a beautiful picture. And I want to encourage and inspire everyone to continue moving forward to everything that you have with full throttle. And my philosophy is that the real Almighty answers all people's prayers however they are answered, but the real Almighty is not limited. And for this reason, there is no need to defraud, dope, or deceive anyone. There is no need to steal from anyone, because if you read the same text that I read and the text came to you and it came to me, seek and you shall find, that's what it means for you. Every word in it, it is unlimited to everyone, and you should have no limitation in your thinking, no fear in your thinking, no hesitation in your thinking. As I saw in a clubhouse room one night, a gentleman that I know, he had, and this is nothing down on the race, but he had fake black leaders. He did this on December 31st, said fake black leaders, leave them in 2021. It's a new day, Bobby, just like you said, it's a new day. And everyone continue moving forward. I see beauty here. This is the beauty of the paradise that 1,000 great minds want to bring. And I thank the National Black Unity News for bringing each and every one of you here together. We are the geniuses. We are the great minds who can create the change in the world. The people in all over the world are waiting on Black America, supposedly the greatest country in America, to raise the whole world up. We are the Moses in America, not in Egypt, but we are the Moses in America who... Pharaoh has let us go, and we need to let Pharaoh go, take command of our own destinies, and we can do it. Thank you. Period.
I appreciate that, brother. Powerful stuff. Anyone
brother
else?
Dave, are you...
yes,
can you
ahead.
Hear me, Brother Dave?
Yes, I can.
This is the Chaney Left Lupus Senior. How are you all tonight?
Fantastic.
Great. And I've listened to everything, and it's motivational, and I love everything that everyone has said, especially about the youth and the seniors, and I happen to be the coordinator of our seniors ministry at the East Baltimore Church of Christ, and what we do is, and what I teach our seniors, that our youth is watching us. They may not hear everything that we say, but they see everything that we do. And it's a couple of things that I'm doing, and I teach them to, you know, to be real, because if what they say does not agree with what they do, our youth will easily call us out. And I also talk to our youth and let them know, any time that we do not do what we say, let us know respectfully. Let us know that that's not what we're teaching. And it's a couple of things that I'm doing with our youth. And I followed our youth from grade school, and I have 12 students that are in college now. One young man and 11 young ladies. And what I get their telephone number, the schools that they are going to, their parents' number, and I follow them all through, and I tell them if anything they need, and they have my number and my email. And some of them, when they need something, they call me or text me or call me, and we stay in contact weekly or monthly, and whenever they have a need, they call me, but first what I do, I make sure that all of this is cleared with their parents. I do not contact any young person without their parents knowing, and I also contact their parents. And in addition, our young people who are in elementary school and grade school, I tell them to let me see a report card. And any student who makes a B, they get $3 for a B. And any that make an A, they get $5. And I have my personal budget set up. So any student, if they want to show me their report card, and if they have that, then I send them money by Zelle or I send them a check or whatever it is. And finally, David, if we have time, we've all talked about unity. And I've written a poem about unity because without unity, nothing that we have said will amount to a hill of beans. So, David, do I have time to read my poem?
Yeah, do it real quickly, sir. Yes, sir.
Real quickly. It's called Unity. U is for unity between one and two that brings us together and make us stick like glue. N is for the necessity to grasp each other's hand, to embrace and encourage, be we a woman or a man. I is for our inner strength, even down to our bones, showing we are stronger together, much more than we are alone. T is for our magnificent team, where women struggling and cried, they strengthened through the entire world, teaching and working side by side. Y is for our awesome youth, for whom we set an example. Being cautious of what we say and do, we mold for them a great sample. God bless you all, and thank you so much. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Mr. Luke. Mr. Lucas is one of our original editors in the paper. See, we got people 18 to 80. There's a couple of people on here that's in their 80s right now, and they still sharing and still caring. And Mr. Lucas is like my big brother, and, you know, he and I share a lot. But Ruth Ministries, Mr. Lucas, y'all need to talk to one another because you have a lot in common. And I told you, I call myself a servant of servants, but I'm also the network of networks. And it's a reason for y'all two to meet with each other. And also, Bobby, Carl Tace Ransom, Teaching Artists Institute, y'all need to have a powwow as well because all of y'all are artists in your own rights and you'd be very creative. And collectively, you know, it's good to do things on your own, but collectively I can see all types of shows and programs coming out of y'all, you know, with our backings. So you don't have to do this thing by yourself. We have all sorts of people on here who are so multi-talented. I mean, man, like I said, where I sit, man, it's just a mountain of gifts and talents. And so, you know, I appreciate you each and every one of them. So anyone else before we close out, Brother Highkey, anybody else? Brother, we got so many talented people on. Brother Vernon, and we got, who else is on here? Brother Rico, who has God-given hands and do so many great works in the community. Now, if we're going to give, I just want to remind y'all, I know we are giving people, we are caring people, and sometimes we cast gifts, our things into soil that's not too solid, not too stable. But here we have amongst us a brother who's on the front lines, on a consistent basis. He'll go with or without you, feeding the homeless, sheltering them, and doing whatever he can for them. And he does this out of his heart. He don't have to do these type of things. He has assembled a group of people. I had the opportunity to work with him. But if you're going to give, you want to sow on some good ground, support God-given hands. just because I tell them all the time, by the grace of God, there go I.
Amen.
I could have ended up there. And I would have really been so grateful to see a brother like this come along. If I'm sitting and I'm hungry and I'm cold and I don't have shelter, I don't have clothes, for somebody like him to step up. So if you're going to do something, support this brother, because it's good seed, and I can vouch for him. And anybody else would like to share before we close out? Okay. With that being said, in closing, ladies and gentlemen, we did have a little glitch coming on, but the mission still got accomplished. So that's why I say when we have obstacles, we have to go around, go through them, do whatever we have to do. And also, this evening, you heard from so many different people with so many different ideas, but you also heard from Brother Cliff, man who has a plan that is not to the point where you have to fear about losing who you are and what you do. All these things, everything is inclusive. You can stay and do what you do, but collectively we can come together. Like I said, we have the media. We have now. How can just for example, those of you who are in the arts, and you have all of these great talents, but it'd be a shame if you don't even going to see it. That's why you need people like us, those of us who are in the media. We can take it and explore, you know, bring some little bit of more exposure to it. You know, and see, you know, that's why I say, that's what Brother Cliff is saying. We can all support one another and have such a powerful network. But in any case, you're going to have the information. We're going to keep on pounding on it until that day. And you also heard from Ruth Ministries, and we're going to have that Ms. Ministry up and running. You have 1,000 great minds where you can add your mind to the rest of our minds, and we can make some serious changes economically. You heard from Fran Allen, who's telling you, you know, don't keep falling for the same old thing to keep entrapping you. You know, set goals and work the goal and alternate the goal, whatever you have to do to the goal, but you still can accomplish it. So we heard from so many people. We heard from our young people. We are especially from young lady Bobby Russell. Let's keep it real. So we can't be sitting around there, you know, fronting and stuff like that. You know, a lot of us, I ain't saying you guys, but I've been around them too. A lot of my peers talk the talk. But when it comes to walking, it's a totally different story. Sound good too. I mean, man, they would have you jumping and raising your hand like this. But when it comes to work, it's a different story. So I appreciate Bobby for sharing that information, and as well, appreciate each and every one of you. We will be back on here tomorrow night, 7:30. It is important that you be on this call, because that's when the true magic starts working. That's when the networking begins. This is when the family steps up. You know, it's good to have businesses and networks and everything else, but sometimes you just need people. Sometimes you just need people to listen to you every once in a while. Sometimes you need people that ain't going to try to reach into your pocket or try to hurt you or harm you. Sometimes you need people just generally care about you. And that's what the beauty behind the National Black Unity is, the people behind the scenes like yourselves who are ready. You heard from each and every one of you. You know, listen to what you say. I listen to what you say. And guess what? All I heard was good news. Solution-oriented information, things that can take us to the next level, not only us, but our people as well. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, see you tomorrow night, 7:30. I will not be sending out the link, but I will be sharing the link. And hopefully, you know, these little glitches, you know, we'll get over them. But, you know, we still got through it. And I thank you, and I'm going to bid you all a pleasant good night. And keep the fight up, keep hope alive and all that good stuff. The battle is not finished. We're going to keep on this battlefield until we win it. So thank you. God bless. Take care.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Hallelujah.
Y'all be safe. Take care of yourselves.
Good night, David.
Peace out. Peace
out. That's calling me.
Okay, good night. That concludes our broadcast for tonight. Catch you next Monday, and hope you enjoyed the show.